What memories do you have of those two cup finals in 1972 and 1978?
I can remember the one in Twickenham, because it was new to everyone else, but we played cup rugby all our lives in the North Gloucester combination, so you know, it wasn't difficult for us. We went to Bath, we went to Coventry, we went to London Welsh, we were the best team in the land. There's seven British Lions, and we played there, and we went to Twickenham. It was a bit of a debacle because they ended up with 12 men. One got sent off and two were injured, and we didn't come out of a lot of glory really. But the thing I remember that comes back to this Gloucester culture. We stopped at a hotel in Maidenhead on the way there, and we went in and had this, like, 11s as it was, and we didn't normally do that, you know, but it was the cover. We all had Gloucester ties on, and, you know, we all did the proper thing, you know, did what we had to do. And Mike Nicholson said, "We're going to get on the bus." I'm just going to say a few words before we get on the bus, because we know what's going to happen when we get there. It won't be normal. There's a man knocking on the door saying, "Photograph, right, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 3 minutes, please, out onto the ground, television and all that." So he said, "I'm just going to say now what I would say there, and I can refer to it when he gets to the dressing rooms." Twickenham then, a big individual bath, so on a sort of ante room off the main dressing room. It was a wonderful experience, and I played for England that year, so I'd been in it, and I thought, I knew our boys. I was telling the lads what it was going to be like and all that. The guy, "No, I didn't." You know, Mike Potter would come from Coney Hill, like, you know, he played a great game. He scored a try in the game against London Welsh. And Mickey Booth used to call him Golden Hands because he said he couldn't catch. But he was a good player, really. You know? And Mike Nicholls stood up before us, was all silent, and we'd had the cup of coffee and sat down and had the sandwich and all that. And he said, "I have never asked you to do anything that I wouldn't do myself." And it was Churchillian. And when we didn't answer back, and there were no jokers, always in a team meeting, there's a couple of jokes before it settles. It was deadly serious. And he said, "I would never ask you to give your life." We all looked, and he said, "But today, I am asking that." And the room went to a side, nobody said a word. I went, and we got on the bus, and we went to Twickenham in silence. Everybody went, "Well, we now understand. Give your life." It was, that's how important it was for Gloucester to win that first thing. It was amazing. It was the commitment that he got out of those players, and they thought they were going to bully us, you know, the big fella Horton started throwing. He called Dick when Dick went, he laughed at him, you know. You know, they weren't going to intimidate us, were they, Gloucester? But as it was, there's another story. You know, we played the game, didn't come out with a lot of glory because we stuck to our plan.
Yeah,
we didn't start changing. And the Leicester one was my last game, really, by the one I had at Kings. I was at the end of it then, and I remember we had Gordon Sargent, Millsy with my, they were young players really, and Millsy had come through. He was a prop when he was young, and he one day asked me when I was captain if he could get a chance to hook her, and I said, "Don't be ridiculous." I said, "You are not ever going to be a hooker." And the next 6 months later, he was capped for England as a hooker. So I got that wrong. And Gordon Sargent, I played when he was at Lydney, and he was what I call a going outside prop. He used to put his head outside, and keep his rear end in, so the hooker had a harder time. And when he came to Gloucester, he learned how to bring his head in and play straight, and he took him, and we took him to the cleaners in the front row that day. And you know, I really enjoyed that, because it was where the root of the game was the front row, and we won the ball, and we pushed them back, and we gave them a hard time. They didn't get anything easy, and we ground out a Gloucester win. It was 6-3, I think.
Yeah,
it was. And so we ground it out, and but what they had was Dusty Hare, who could at any time kick, but he could kick anything from anywhere. And we held on to him as well. He got an early tackle. He came into a run right early in the game, and he sustained a slight facial injury, which must have affected his goal kicking. So I wouldn't say there was anything deliberate about that, but that's what happened. And we won the game. And I always have fond memories of those games, because they were big days for the club.
Yeah.
Mm. And we were a long time going back to win it again,
yeah.
to be honest.
Yeah, 78, it had changed though, hadn't it? I mean, sponsors,
yeah.
A proper programme,
yeah.
Much more organised.
Yeah.
And you played with the same starting 15, I think, all the way through the campaign.
Oh, Chris, is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And
that win at London Welsh must be...
Oh, in the first...
Yeah. Yeah,
in the first campaign.
In the first campaign.
Yeah, in the first campaign. In the quarterfinal.
Must be Gloucester's best win ever, I think.
It was because of what they had. The Mervyn Davies at the end, a kid called Nigel Jackson I went to school with, who looks a bit like Swerve, actually. He's a tall, rangy boy, and he won the end of the line-out against Mervyn. And Mervyn was 74, 71 line, you know, played all those great games. Mm. And we won that. Mickey Booth put the ball. There was a headwind, and Eric Stevens took a kick, and it was going over, and the wind, and it dropped. It didn't go over. It dropped like a stone. Yeah. And of course, that's where we had General Booth. He got the ball, and he said, right, well, we'll pass it now. Put in little ones. He put in little kicks, low kicks, moved out wide. And against, they didn't expect that, you see, because second half when we turned round, well, that went up in the air then. And of course, that's how we got the try with it landed just 5 metres from the line, and who emerged with it was Mike Potter, and he scored. Yeah. Boothie went, and Billy Hullin was their scrum half, who took over from Gareth. Gareth Edwards took over from him in Cardiff. And Billy Hullin looked at him and he said, "I should have known that." He said, "I should have known." But they had John Dawes. John Dawes and Mervyn Davies, Gerald Davies on the one wing. I'm trying to think. The fullback they had, JPR Williams. JPR Williams didn't play actually. They had another reserve fullback play because he must have been injured. But they had six British Lions in the team. John Taylor, yeah. You know, they was an amazing team. Yeah. They had, and it was one of those famous victories.
Yeah. And wonderful for a man like Potts to score like that. Because he'd come into the Gloucester side from junior rugby fairly late in his career.
I've always told him, he came down the steps, we used to do sevens, and he'd come down the steps in an old yellow Coneill shirt, socks rolled down. And I said to him, "God, blimey," I said, "What's he doing down at Gloucester?" Because it was quite it was a big thing. If you left local rugby to say you're going to play for Gloucester, it means you fancied your chances, you were confident enough to go and have a go. And a lot of kids didn't, it was embarrassing that time where you didn't get established. And I told him years later about all that, and he said, "Well," he said, "I felt like that." He said, "Well, he was never a sort of a big mouth or anything." And he said, "Well, I was all right in the end, didn't I, Mick?" And I said, "Yeah." And I said, "I'll tell you what. When we had Eddie Pinkney, he'd fly off the side and he could carry the ball. He was a bulky sort of flanker. He'd pick the ball up and he'd go well for leather." He'd learned that in local rugby. He'd been a great rugby league player, I think. But then we'd have a change. We'd be in trouble, defending, and Pot, he'd take the tackle, whoop, like a vice, and he'd turn the bloke round. When I arrived at the ruck, I used to take the ball. But Pot had made that initial tackle, you see. He was a... Oh, a great grafter. And when we went down into Wales in the mud and all that, and they used to try and kick him, and all he turn over, and if we had the ball, he used to go, "Ah, ah, ah." He'd give him a smile, he's a great contributor. He was.
Yeah.
But it was amazing, wasn't it? I mean, he walked straight in from Coney Hill and played for the first 15 within weeks, didn't he?
Yeah, you now and then you get that.